This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey folks, what's up? I know you're used to seeing this face on this camera, on your TV screen, only on Mondays. But this holiday season is being so good. I saw my Cowboys play almost a perfect game a couple days ago. And then yesterday, I saw them put together a second half to come back and say, we are still the best team in the NFL. I decided to, after I ate that turkey yesterday, I need to come back on today and eat this turkey named Stephen A. Smith for my Dallas Cowboys and all that lives in Cowboys Nation. First Take is in the house.
Good morning. Welcome to First Take. Thank you for being with us. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Stephen A., good morning.
Good morning,
Mom. Good to see you. Michael Irvin, now that all the pleasantries are out of the way, I just want to know, if a hobbled New York Giants team went into Jerry's World at full strength, riding high after beating Minnesota, had scored 8 more points, would you still be here this morning?
Miley, I got a lot of things that I'm going to have to answer for to God. So if they would have lost, I might not have been here. I don't need to put this on the list, too. Let me just give you some truth in that. But that is not the case. And, Molly, I don't even like how you trying to already pat your stats after beating a hobbled New York Giants team. We'll get ready to talk about all of this. Hobbled or not, you can only play the people that are in front of you, and the Cowboys played the people that were in front of them, and it happened to be a Giant team who's very good.
Okay. To Stephen A.'s point, I was leading the witness. I get it. I'll get to the question.
You were leading the witness, but I will tell you, this is a rare, rare occurrence. It's not just because it's Friday. This might be the first time in television history I've actually seen Michael Irvin wearing a decent suit.
Yeah,
with a matching tie
great.
And pocket square.
Very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, this usually doesn't happen.
It's
a miracle.
For the holidays.
This is a miracle. He's looking pretty damn sharp this morning. Yes. I got it. That's the first time that I've ever seen him with an outfit, and I went like this. I wouldn't mind wearing that. I think I could wear that. This is the first time. This is the first time. I give it to you.
Right.
I give it to you.
You know what's so funny, old man? What's so funny? I choose this as my, this is my, like a remote suit. This ain't no live and in-person suit. This is like a remote suit.
But you need to do remote
that's
more
why
often
I just do it. Yeah.
You need to do remote more often.
Yeah, don't worry. Nails done, hair done, everything did.
Let's do it.
The Cowboy CeeDee Lamb had himself a day, putting Dallas in position for one of Dak Prescott's 2 scoring passes to Dalton Schultz and Ezekiel Elliott's TD run in a 28-20 victory over the New York Giants on Thanksgiving Day. Despite the win, penalties continue to be an issue for Dallas. Here's Mike McCarthy.
To win a game when you have 2-1 penalties of your opponent, that's obviously not where you want to be.
We got to be more disciplined. Stop hurting ourselves on drives and self-inflicted wounds, whether it be me turning the ball over, being too aggressive, or not on the same page as receivers. False starts, we've got to clean all that stuff up. But I'm as confident as I can be. I know what this team is capable of, especially with this defense that we have. As I said, we control everything that's in front of us.
All right, S.A., what did we learn about the Cowboys?
Not a damn thing. There's nothing that we learned from the Dallas Cowboys yesterday that we didn't suspect about them coming into the game. We could sit up here post-Thanksgiving and act like something special happened yesterday. Nothing special happened yesterday. The fact of the matter is they were going up against a team that was clearly inferior and that was undermanned, to say the least. I mean, their number one wide receiver, Shepard, is out for the year, okay? Darius Slayton can do but only so much. Saquon Barkley, if you're stacking a box with 8 people, what's he supposed to do? And Daniel Jones is like a deer in headlights. I've never seen so many passes thrown to the knees and the ankles of receivers on the move in my life. That's what Daniel Jones did yesterday. So you don't have a number one quarterback. You don't have a number one receiver. You're depleted on your offensive line, okay? All right, what did you expect? The fact of the matter is it was a shock. an absolute shock that the Dallas Cowboys were literally down at halftime. It was a shock that the New York Giants had a lead. It was a shock that the Giants weren't annihilated throughout the game, and it just was happened in the second half. I'm not getting caught up in all of this stuff. You think this stuff tells us something about the New York Giants? They ain't the San Francisco 49ers. They ain't the Philadelphia Eagles. Hell, they ain't even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am not concerned at all about what I saw yesterday. Dallas, they looked good. That's what they were supposed to do. I did see Dak Prescott throw two interceptions. Let's see him do that against Philadelphia or San Francisco. I did see Michael Gallup. I'm very, very pleased with what I saw from Michael Gallup. I know CeeDee Lamb had a big game numbers-wise, but I liked how Michael Gallup looked. Michael Gallup seemed to be saying, what the hell y'all clamoring for Odell Beckham Jr. for? I'm here. I'm all right. We don't need Odell Beckham Jr., but you still got the team literally politicking and putting out promotional and marketing campaigns to lure Odell Beckham Jr. to Big D. This is how desperate the Dallas Cowboys are. So I hear all the bloviating. I hear all the talking. I hear how y'all think y'all something special and all of this other stuff. But we ain't learned a damn thing yesterday. Not Thanksgiving Day. I'm sorry. Matter of fact, the Giants look like they overate. They look like they came in there stuffed. They look like they came in there a bit bloated because that's how they played in the second half. Crazy. I ain't get caught up in all of that nonsense. This means absolutely nothing to me. This is no litmus test. They just got another W. Congratulations to them. But I did see those 13 penalties, and that reminds me of the 14 penalties they had in the postseason. See, as things change, they remain the same. Just be patient, y'all. Just be patient. They're just showing you things that can happen that's going to mess it up for them.
Listen, let me say this first. Let me say this because I knew, you know, I knew this would be part of it also. Just like the Minnesota thing last week. Every time Dallas takes out an 8-1 team or a 7-3 team, teams that are at the top of the food chart as far as the record goes in the NFL, the next day, all of a sudden, those teams were not who we thought they were. Everybody always says that. I want to give the Giants some credit. I was at that game yesterday, and I saw an incredible effort out of the Giants. I heard what the announcers were talking about, that the Giants had looked long and hard after losing that game to Detroit and how they look within themselves. And they showed up early in this game, and they played hard. It reminded me of a game when I remember when Washington was winning Super Bowls and we had just came in, and Wilbert Marshall, he was playing linebacker, and we started the game. And we were like, we're going to beat them. I mean, it was 3-13 or 1-15 years. I said, we're going to beat them today. And we were moving the ball. We were doing great. And Wilbert Marshall said to his defense, calm down, everybody. They're just excited. Once the excitement goes away, we're going to commence to whooping on their butt. And that's exactly what they did, because they were a championship team and we were not. I put too much on Dallas because I expected to see the same game plan and the same team I saw last Sunday against Minnesota, which is in that 11-day stretch, they played three games. To play the Giants that last game, the Giants played so hard and so admirably. And then the Cowboys find their way the second half of that game. This is the third game in 11 days. It reminded me of that Washington team and that Wilbur Marshall, those teams that they won a championship with. And I said, this is what a championship team is. It absorbs the blow. When you're on the third game in 11 days, they absorbed that blow. But then they turned around and got back to business and put down a team that they were better than. Yes, we learned great things about this Cowboy team. We learned some more fight that's in this Cowboy team. And Stephen, I give you credit. You are absolutely right. I'm so proud of my neighbor. He lives right across the street. I'm going to put flowers on his door. I might even put some candy on his door, because Michael Gallup has been showing up and showing out. He's showing now that he's all the way back from that leg injury, and he is ready. And I tweeted, you are watching the hatching
of a true and pure number one receiver. They robbed CeeDee Lamb on that touchdown. The moment that toe touched down, it should have been a touchdown. The moment that toe touched down, didn't matter what the heel did because everything else was already in possession. CeeDee Lamb has really come on and really starting to show up. He's taking over games late, which is what 88 must do. You got to know how to win games, then you got to know how to take over games, and then you got to know how to close games. And that's exactly what CeeDee Lamb did. I thought we learned a lot about the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm going to tell you something. It ain't just Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys that's out there shooting out that bait and trying to reel that rod in and catch that bass called Odell Beckham Jr. Because I've been texting and talking to him, too. I'm throwing out that bait and trying to reel that rod in with that big bass called Odell Beckham Jr.
Enough is enough. It's over. What you trying to say?
If we get Odell, you have
any idea how pathetic you sound? How pathetic you sound? Here you are. You just finished. Now, mind you, you talked about that was a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb got the toe down, right? That was really a touchdown. And this brother is worthy of wearing number 88. That's what you said. You talk about Dak Prescott. You did your playmaker segment. Your playmaker. We them boys. Dak Prescott, okay? Domination and all of this other stuff, right? That's Dak, right? Then you got Michael Gallup. Oh, he your neighbor now. He ain't just a receiver. He ain't just a receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. He ain't just some all-world caliber talent. He's your next-door neighbor. I mean, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, Mr. Rogers. That's what you are right now. And then not only that, in the same breath, you gonna turn around and sit up there and say, I'm clamoring for OBJ. I'm reeling him in. I'm coming to Dallas. Y'all are desperate. Pathetic. This is the kind of nonsense that I'm talking about. So in other words, you in one breath, you loaded and you ready to win it all. But in another breath, oh my goodness, if we get OBJ, this is done. It's a wrap. We gonna win it all in Arizona. But I thought y'all were good enough without him. What you clamoring for him for? And if that's your neighbor as well as your boy, he clearly ain't making a statement. We don't need OBJ. We got me. But you ain't listening to that. You all over the damn place. Yeah. It's hypocritical.
No. Let me explain exactly what I'm talking about.
I understood you the first time.
Without Odell, let's listen to it. Listen with your ears, not your mouth. Without Odell, we're going to win a Super Bowl. With Odell, we're going to be another dynasty. That's exactly what I just said. Let me repeat it again so it comes across clearly. Without Odell, we will win a Super Bowl.
Dynasty.
With Odell, we will win many Super Bowls
and become a dynasty.
And Odell can be a part of that.
Excuse me, I love Odell Beckham Jr. The brother is something special. I believe he would have been the Super Bowl MVP last year had he not gotten hurt. But last time I checked, he went down with a non-contact injury. Last time I checked, he's missed quite a few games over the last year. Last time I checked, y'all ain't won a Super Bowl since 1995. Back then, you wasn't wearing a toupee. You barely had hair, and you rocked a fade for crying out loud. And you talk, that's how long ago it's been since you won a damn Super Bowl and your team won a damn Super Bowl. But suddenly, because Odell Beckham Jr. arrived, a dynasty, don't you have to win one first? And could you count on him to be there for two or three? You can't. I ain't disrespecting Odell because I got love for him. I know the brother's all world when he's healthy, but the bottom line is injuries have ravaged him. That is a fact. So what are you talking about, dynasty? That involves longevity. You don't snap your fingers and win two, three, four Super Bowls. You played how many years? And you had three. And you wasn't injury prone. Matter of fact, when healthy, I saw y'all lose to San Francisco because prime time showed up with Steve Young and Jerry Rice and the crew. And they said, wait a minute, playmaker. Wait a minute, Emmitt. Wait a minute, Troy. Wait a minute, Barry Switzer. Wait a minute, Jerry Jones. It ain't going down like that.
We ain't talking about that.
You the one brought up dynasty.
NFC championship game records. We're not talking about the game that I broke all them championship game records. We ain't even talking about it. What we're talking about right here. What we're talking about right here is what will happen when we're going to win a Super Bowl. Now, what will happen if Odell Beckham comes? Now, listen. You said, as you recently remember, Odell has been injured. Yes, he has. But as I recently remember, when Odell did show up last year.
He's big time.
Boy, he quickly ascended. He quickly ascended to one of the best players on the Rams team. And if he does that over here, and you already know the kind of games he has had in AT&T Stadium.
That's not going to work.
I've been telling him. I said, listen, you know what kind of games you've been having in AT&T Stadium? Imagine having 8 of those. Imagine having 9 of those a year. That's what you can do when you put that star on the side of your helmet. You remember that one-handed catch? He was internationally known after that one-hand catch. Not just because of the catch.
You mean the one-handed catch that you said last week came in second place to Justin Jefferson's catch against Buffalo a few weeks ago? You mean that catch?
But he can get the number one spot when he does that.
Can I ask a question?
He'll be the number one.
Can I ask a question?
What's that?
You just gonna ignore the fact that if Odell comes because of how great he can be, that it might make your next door neighbor, your friendly neighborhood neighbor, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb a bit salty because they ain't those dudes. It's going to be Odell Beckham Jr.
You can find a variety of ways to lose, and dissension amongst the ranks
could potentially happen. No. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, they're trying to get their own shine.
Let me tell you why that's not a problem. Did you see that press conference that we played right before you and I started this discussion? In that press conference, you watch one Dak Dakota Prescott.
He stood up there.
We have to clean. Listen, he said we have to clean up a lot of things. First, me and my interception. He's not like that quarterback y'all got out there in New York, who won't take on responsibility and point fingers at himself.
He's 22 years old. It's second year in the league. You're going to do that? You're going to bring up Zach Wilson?
He's fresh out of BYU.
Breath smelling like Similac. Wet behind the ears. You know better than that.
I didn't say any names. That's why I didn't say any names.
Everybody knows the story. It just happened three days ago.
But it's still about leadership. I was the one that said he was a young kid. Give him a chance. But y'all ain't want to. Y'all just said no. So now I'm using him as an example to talk about what Dak does.
Dak can integrate
all of those talents.
Well, let me tell you about the integration that you just brought up. See, you brought up Dak Prescott, right? You brought up Dak Prescott. First of all, let me say this, and I'm going to remind you of what I've said. Dak Prescott is unequivocally, and I'm not saying this is a negative. I like the brother. You know what I'm saying? As Cowboy fans, I can't stand. Not the players, not the team. Okay? Here's the deal. Dak Prescott is the most useless waste of time interview in professional sports. He has absolutely nothing to say. Bill Belichick says more to him, and he don't even talk. I'm just trying to tell you, Dak Prescott says nothing. It is a waste of time. The only reason he gets interviewed is because he plays the quarterback position for the Dallas Cowboys. It is a waste of time to talk to Dak Prescott. He says nothing.
Oh, my God.
He says nothing. Same stuff. You can literally interview Dak Prescott in the preseason and never interview him again throughout the season and just re-air his quotes. It'll be the same thing.
That's what a quarterback's supposed to do. You hear what y'all are saying? Give the media fodder.
Right, but thank you, Molly.
Not when you're not
your words just ringing.
Not when you're not winning.
That's exactly what a quarterback's supposed to do. That's exactly what Tom Brady has done. That's exactly what Peyton Manning has done for 100 and million years.
That's not true.
And you said nothing when they did it.
That's not true.
Tom Brady, when he was with New England.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, all right, Aaron Rodgers and all of them have said more. Dak Prescott's interviews are a waste of time. I don't even pay attention to what he says. It's the same thing over and over again. I've been listening to him for 5-6 years. The fact is he says nothing. It's a waste of time. When I saw him in person, I said, "What's up, man? How you doing?" Because I knew I would get nothing else. I mean, he's got nothing else to say. You could talk to him, it don't matter what. He's going to say the same thing every time. It's an echo. That's all it is. I'm not knocking him for it. To each his own. He ain't no crime, but it's a waste of time.
It's called
it's
being
a waste
consistent.
Of time.
When Tom Brady was with New England, they didn't say
right.
anything.
Listen.
New England, you know that. They're like Fort Knox up
sometimes
there.
Sometimes he was
big button
sometimes
that was listen. A different deal.
There is such a thing as being conspicuous with your silence, too, Molly. I'm sure you understand what that is. Okay, so the fact of the matter is that is possible. Yeah. But in the case of Dak Prescott, it don't matter. You can quote him from 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5, 6 months ago. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It's a waste of time to get quotes from him. It's a waste of time. All you got to do is re-air the stuff. Waste of time. So I don't want to hear what he has to say.
All right. There was some other good games.
I care about what he does.
Can I move on? Do you have any
yes,
last thoughts?
No, I ain't got nothing.
Michael, are you
you know
good?
What? I'm trying to hurry up with this so I don't have to look at him again. Let's go.
Okay, Michael's good.
I'm good. I'm good.
Rubbing it in. The suit is fly, though.
It is.
It really is.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Gentlemen, let's get to the first game, though, because it was
a
nail-biter in Detroit. Multiple lead changes. Josh Allen drove his team down with seconds left on the clock to set up the game-winning field goal, and the Vikings, in a game loaded with highlight plays, held off Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots on Thanksgiving night for a 33-26 victory. Irv, what was the bigger statement win? Would you say it was the Bills or the Vikes?
Here again, I got to put the Vikings in that three-game stretch, those 11 days, you come over, you play the number one team in the AFC in Buffalo, and you beat them. Then you come get dismantled by the number one team in the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys, and you bounce back with one of the greatest coaches of all time, the guy, the greatest coach to ever coach the game. And he puts you in a nail biter, and you make the plays to win the game. You gotta say, it is absolutely the Minnesota Vikings, especially when you put what they've done over those last 11 days all together. And especially also, as much as we know, what we're watching right now, this man came out and showed out. Justin Jefferson, When does Bill Belichick ever allow your number one receiver to make those kinds of plays against him? And those plays you saw Justin Jefferson catch, you saw that was right between two guys. So he was being double-teamed, triple-teamed, and he still came up and made the play. And that was a home victory for Minnesota. I thought that was way more impressive than Buffalo's victory over, let me say this, the Detroit Lions. Let's stop playing people.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Bills for this one. You know, New England surprised me and impressed me with what they were able to do offensively. Initially, I thought that was a touchdown by Hunter, but you are right. If you make contact with the ground and then you don't maintain control, to the official letter of the law, it was the right call by the officials. I think that was appropriate to say. But they surprised me with how well they played. What I would say is that I didn't expect Minnesota to look as effective as they did offensively against New England's experienced defense, even though giving up that 97-yard kickoff return obviously was on special teams, and that was a negative. But I will tell you this. I'm going to go with the Bills for one reason and one reason only, playmaker, and I think you'll appreciate this. You just brought up Justin Jefferson. You know what I'm watching? I'm watching Stephon Diggs. And I'm watching the way he is screaming at Josh Allen and his teammates, get me the damn ball. Target me. He's looking at McDermott and the brother. Target me. Come to me. You understand? The hell with McKenzie and what he's doing, Davis and what they come to me. And that brother delivered. I mean, the numbers only say 8 receptions for 77 yards, but those was two big-time catches in the fourth quarter that he registered. I mean, he just said, I'm the man. I'm that dude. Now, Justin Jefferson has that ability. He didn't do it against Dallas with only 3 receptions for 33 yards, and I get all of that, but he showed up last night against New England, and I get that. But when we think about the Bills, and when we think about how they've been struggling over the last few weeks, and we think about, once again, Josh Allen and them committing, what is it, 6 turnovers in the last three, four weeks in the red zone? I mean, damn, it's bad, okay? It's really bad. And that's not going to get them to the Super Bowl. They better clean that up, or Buffalo going to be home watching the Super Bowl with the rest of us. They better get their act together. But to know that they're going through those doldrums, and for a wide receiver, we always see wide receivers, get me the ball, get me the ball. We could go through a laundry list, yourself included. But the reason why you're the playmaker and the reason why you're a Hall of Famer is because when you asked for it, when you demanded it, and they came to you, you delivered.
You got to make that play.
You got to make that play. And Stephon Diggs,
you got to make that play.
I'm saying to you, with Justin Jefferson, I saw a playmaker. Right. Don't get me wrong. The brother's special, and he's elite. And I got a lot of love for what I'm seeing from him. But when you talk about a dude like Stephon Diggs that is literally in everybody's face, come to me. Yes. This is money time. I'm that dude. And they did. And he delivered in traffic, making sensational catches. I got to tell you, that is what champions are made of. If you're going to win the championship for the Buffalo Bills, Stephon Diggs has to be that guy. And yesterday he said, I know it. Now watch me show you. And then went out and showed them.
Yeah. You can never count him out.
Because you're so right. You're so right on this, Stephen A. I mean, and you hit the nail on the head with what you when you're talking about a true number one. You have to have that ability to be selfless. You want to raise everybody up. But at that right moment, you got to be selfish, not selfless. I'm going to make this play. Throw me the ball. And I think, you know, or that's why I wasn't worried about Buffalo as much as everybody else was, because even the red zone mistakes have been aggressive mistakes. And I want Josh to stay aggressive. And that's what Stephon Diggs told him. Stay aggressive. Just come to me. Don't go to nobody else. Come to me, and your aggression will work out.
And that's the big thing. That's the big thing. You can ask for it. But you could do so timidly, you could do so passively, you could do so respectfully, but he was in Cat's face. Come to me.
Right.
And delivered.
Michael, when we're looking at all
the big play receivers, and obviously we saw what you tweeted there, who do you think is the number one? Would you go Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, or would you go Diggs?
Come on now.
But all of them, all three of those guys are number ones.
I don't know about that.
But each in a different category. Yeah, all three number ones. I don't know about that.
CeeDee Lamb yet.
In different categories.
He's happy.
CeeDee Lamb is showing. CeeDee Lamb is showing, and you see his numbers over the last few weeks. He is clearly moving towards that number one. Now, I understand your hesitation because he had to go from being a number two to a number one while he went from his number one to a number two quarterback. For a while, he had to play with Cooper Rush. So let's remember that. As he's transitioning from a number two to a number one receiver, he had to transition and make that transition, losing his number one quarterback and doing some of it with his number two. But now he's made that full transition. That's why I tweeted, you are watching a hatching of this number one receiver. Now you ask me, out of all three of those guys, and all three of them, dude, they made some plays, man. Watch, if you go back and look at the catches all three of these team guys has made over the last few weeks, they've all been some incredible, incredible grabs, including that non-touchdown grab by CeeDee Lamb. But the one guy I still have to point to, I got Josh Allen. You probably go Josh Allen and Dak Prescott up here as far as the partners that they have throwing to him. And made a Kirk Cousins just a tad below them as far as the partner Justin Jefferson has thrown to him. So out of the three, I'm going to still take Justin Jefferson. I think the last couple weeks, the catches he's made, it has been top of the world.
I will say this to you. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't understand that analogy. You got Josh Allen and Dak Prescott here. No. I don't know what you're talking about in that regard. That's number one.
You don't think they got better quarterbacks?
No. No, Dak Prescott ain't Josh Allen. No, stop it. Now, Josh Allen has struggled over the last few weeks or so, but we've seen Dak Prescott struggle for years. Stop it. It's not the same. That's number one.
No, and not only that, excuse me.
Josh Allen's been in the AFC Championship game. We still wait for that from Dak. Stop. Stop it now. Okay, that's number one. Number two, don't mention CeeDee Lamb yet. I got the brother can play. He's no scrub. 8 straight weeks to start the season without one single 100-yard game? No. He's good. He doesn't get to get mentioned with Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs. You stop that right now. You stop it. Don't you even think about it. Stop that. Number two. Number three, Justin Jefferson is a special brother. And I understand that Dallas D slaughtered Kirk Cousins. I get all that. And I'm sure that played a role. But damn it, all I know is 3 receptions for 33 yards against those Cowboys. I ain't see that happen to Stephon Diggs. And then yesterday, what we saw when Detroit came roaring back, we saw Stephon Diggs again. I'm going to tell you, in terms of number one receivers, of that list that we got right there, because understand, I would take Tyreek Hill, me personally, before all of them. Okay? But understand, of the list that's right there, all right? I would tell you Stephon Diggs comes first, Jefferson comes second, Lamb comes third. And by the way, Lamb, as good as he is, because he is good, I ain't going to throw that shade on the brother. The brother can play. I'm not putting him in the same sentence as Tyreek Hill. I'm not putting him in the same sentence as Jamar Chase once Chase comes back. I'm not doing it.
Okay. So you give no credence to anything, too.
Or A.J. Brown. You give
nothing to CeeDee Lamb having to make this maturation without his quarterback
all the
way through.
I just said I give him love. I just said there's levels to this. Listen, there's plenty of people that are pros, right? There's plenty of people that are Hall of Famers at the wide receiver. They ain't the playmaker. I'm just saying, you can respect them and appreciate them, but understand there's levels to this. I'm saying when you bring up CeeDee Lamb, I'm thinking about Jefferson and Diggs.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking about Jamar Chase. I'm thinking about A.J. Brown. No, CeeDee Lamb ain't on that level yet. No.
But he did do a good job in the second half yesterday.
Yes.
Michael.
And, he all those guys you talked about have had their quarterback all year long.
Yeah.
They haven't missed time. Well, Tua missed some time outside Tua. But the rest of the guys have had their quarterbacks all year long.
Michael, before we let you roll and enjoy your post-Thanksgiving, I just want to ask you this, though. Are you concerned about the Cowboys' penalties? Because that keeps happening, and it feels like that's their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And they seemed a little jittery even in the second half when they got it done.
Yeah, I am concerned about that, and I want them to clean that up. And that's why I don't know what Stephen A's talking about when you see Dak Prescott, the leader of that football team, stand at that podium and talk about how they're going to clean those things up and how they are going to focus on getting those things right.
They said it last year!
And he said it all starts with him. It all starts with him. It's just great leadership. So I know Dak.
I know you're full of it. What happens is that he played because he is Thanksgiving weekend. Yeah. So he home, right? And see, here's what's going to happen, right? Before he go back to L.A., because he got a great show to do on Sunday mornings, here's the real deal, okay?
What?
He going to go out and the playmaker, you know what I'm saying, in Irving, Texas, he going to go out. And what he wants to do is be able to go out. Yeah, I told Stephen A. I got our back. Stop it. Stop that dribbling.
So
that gibberish.
Funny, dude.
Nonsensical
Listen,
stuff.
Man.
They committed all of those penalties in the postseason. They swore they were going to clean it up. And they came in. They were making penalties in the preseason. And they still haven't cleaned up all these pre-snap penalties for crying out loud.
Michael,
even though, by
the
way, hold on, Molly. Even though, by the way, I actually thought the holding penalty against Zach Martin was kind of bogus. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't think he deserved that. This is not a brother that gets called for holding penalties very often. I mean, he's one of the elite. But the point is, at the end of the day, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, the fact of the matter is penalties have been plaguing them. And remember, they invent ways to lose. It's not like they lose conventionally.
Yes.
It's usually a mistake. What? It's usually a catch that wasn't a catch. An inordinate amount of penalties, not being able to get off a snap in 13 seconds. I mean, they invent ways to fall. So let's remember all of that. Stop that nonsense with Dak.
Right.
And you heard Troy what he said
and
at the press conference.
Remember.
Stop it.
But let's also remember how much room there is for improvement when you do correct all those things. Dallas is winning and winning well with those issues. Imagine if we snatch those issues off the table.
Imagine
what you have.
Imagine.
This is what. So you are making my point for me.
I'm not.
Every team is going to work on their issue. Team is working on their issue.
See, you
Some
ain't listening.
Some team working on their issue.
You ain't listening.
And they still won't go anywhere.
You ain't listening.
Dallas is going to work on the issues with a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
That's my point to you. You're saying they're going to work on the issues. I'm saying they said that last year. And the same issue happened in the preseason. And the same issue has happened during the regular season. Evidently, they're not working on those issues. That's my point. Only you would twist it and try to turn it into a positive and be like, see, they're going to work on this. Imagine if they did this. Well, I keep imagining it, but it doesn't happen. That's the point. They don't address those issues. It's the same old, same old. That's my point.
Oh, my gosh. Michael, I'll be back on your team on Monday.
Hey,
you know, it was just rough to lose on Thanksgiving.
I can't wait to be back there. I can't wait to hear back.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe we can get them in a
be
better mood,
Be careful what
man.
You wish for,
I
baby.
Know,
be careful what you wish
you
for.
Lately, buddy. I know it's been hard on you lately. Yeah. I know it's been hard on you, but I'm going to let
it's
you cry
right.
right on this shoulder, right here. Right on that one, right
patient,
there.
Baby.
That's a strong one. That's
I'm
a strong
patient.
One.
That's I'm patient. I'm patient. I can wait. I know what's coming. Y'all don't. And that's what I almost feel bad for y'all because you thought y'all were crying last year when the season ended. Imagine what the tears are going to be like this year.
With the higher stakes?
Oh, yeah. The fall's going to be harder.
God did it right. God did it right. The last place we won a Super Bowl will be the next place we won a Super Bowl, and that will be Arizona, buddy. Take that one
How
to
long
the
ago
bank.
Was that?
Take
How
that
long ago
one
was that?
To the bank.
How long ago was that?
Take
Do you remember the year?
The bank.
Do you remember the year?
I have the ring. I remember the year.
Yeah,
I remember
what year
the
was
year.
It? What year was it?
It was 95. It
there
was
we
95.
There we go.
I have the ring.
I was fresh out of college.
And this year
I was fresh
will be
out of college.
Next year.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a young whippersnapper.
There we go.
In those Queens
That's
streets.
Right.
You guys are hilarious. All right, Michael, enjoy the time with your family before you get back on the road. We'll be watching you Sunday.
Happy
we'll
Thanksgiving, bro.
All right, on
man.
First Take in person
All right,
on
happy
Monday.
Thanksgiving, man.
Can't
love
wait,
you guys. Love you guys,
love
man.
You,
happy Thanksgiving.
And we like your remote suit. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at lq.com.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Aaron Rodgers revealed Wednesday that he's been dealing with a broken thumb on his throwing hand. The injury happened on the final play of the Packers' loss to the Giants on October 9th. That was in London. When asked why he didn't confirm it was broken until now, Rodgers had this to say.
It didn't make a difference.
It doesn't?
It doesn't make a difference me playing, you know. It didn't make a difference. You saw the tape on my thumb, didn't make a difference. It's about the same every week. It didn't really get any better. It didn't get significantly worse. Yeah, I was just dealing with the occasional kind of dull pain and working through it.
And look who's here, Sam Acho, Bart Scott. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You eat well.
All right, great.
I'm good. I'm good. Kudumata.
Did you just ask Bart Scott on national television?
Yeah, did he eat well?
If he ate well?
Yeah.
If he ate well.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I'm living good, Molly. I appreciate the question. Thank you. Yes, I ate well.
Good.
Thank you.
When doesn't he eat well?
Oh, my goodness.
Good Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Did you eat well?
Yes.
Did you carb load?
Carmen did a thing.
Carmen. Okay, that's what I like to hear.
Yes.
Sam, I'll start with you. What did you think about Rodgers disclosing this right now?
I wasn't surprised, right? They've been losing a lot of games. He's been playing poorly. I wasn't surprised. My only issue is this. You got a broken thumb, which I get. Last year, you had a broken toe. You won MVP. And so everyone in the NFL is injured.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're going to talk about an injury, whether right now or later, it doesn't make a difference. You have to find a way to win. Quarterbacks get injured. Receivers get injured. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't surprised by it. He's going to play either way. And you got to find a way to find either better players or play better yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's trying to justify his play. And, you know, everybody in the NFL is injured, right? You know, the first day after the NFL, you're going to hear the first week, you're going to hear people getting all kinds of surgeries, getting everything fixed up. So nobody cares about that excuse. The reality is that the Green Bay Packers are in a tough situation. They have a quarterback that's no longer able and capable to carry the franchise by himself. He needs support. But also they have a young quarterback in Jordan Love that we know absolutely nothing about. So they have to, you know, consider what is Aaron Rodgers' future, how dedicated he is. Like I said before, I blame Tom Brady for this. And I blame Tom Brady because we assume that every quarterback that has a resume, that has an MVP on it, that has playoff wins, a Super Bowl behind them, that they can play well into their 40s. Mm-hmm. And they have the ability to win Super Bowls in their 40s. Denver made that same mistake with Russell Wilson by giving him an extension for almost $250 million because he said he's going to play into his 40s. Not everybody's Tom Brady. Not every situation is the same, even though it looks like it. They have to really truly consider, is it time to move on from the baddest man on the planet, like Stephen Zay refers to him, and push that big chip into the middle and get a bunch of good players by cashing in a great player?
I think that sentiment is utterly ridiculous.
You can't think that.
I think that I can think that, and I do. You guys played. I watch. I reported. I've been watching the NFL for 3 decades.
Yep.
I've been listening, and like I told y'all before, you see, this is why y'all can't ever beat me in a debate. Because I'm brilliant because I know I'm not. I listen to those who are. I learn. I don't sit up there. I'm not the stupid reporter that thinks that I know football the way that y'all do. I listen to y'all. And so what happens is that I don't just listen to y'all when y'all on First Take. See, when you're on the radio, I listen to you. When you're on SportsCenter or one of them other shows, I listen to you. I'm watching. You understand? Say, okay. When I know you're going to be on First Take because I'm going to watch. I'm going to see what you're going to say, okay? And the point is that listening to y'all throughout the years, y'all talk about the importance of the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. And you talk about how that sets the stage for everything in the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers can ball. We know this. Now, we also know he hasn't had one single 300-yard passing game this year. Mm-hmm. I have blamed him primarily for the struggles of the Green Bay Packers. Why? Because you let Devontae Adams walk out that door. There is no excuse for that. No quarterback in the history of the National Football League has ever been successful throwing the football to themselves.
Okay.
You throw it to somebody. I will remind you, throughout the years, when Randall Cobb was younger, he was a primary weapon. Jordy Nelson was a primary weapon. Devontae Adams was a primary weapon. And you have Valdez Scantling, and you had Lazard, and even though they were secondary receivers or what have you, Devontae Adams will make other people look good because you got the key on that brother, okay? What I'm saying to you is that this notion that all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers can't do something, that's not the problem. Christian Watson, we like what we've been seeing from him, at least when they played up against Dallas. We get all of that. Randall Cobb, before he went down, miraculously seemed more open than we anticipated he would ever be. Lazard has had some decent moments. But when we look at the Green Bay Packers, it's a misnomer to assume they didn't have weapons before. They did. And so even though Aaron Rodgers was great, part of his greatness was the fact that he had weapons he doesn't have this year. And I'm saying to you, when I look at it from that perspective, I understand he's climbing up there in age. But the way this brother can throw a football, I'm sorry, Bakhtiari missed the first three games of the season. If you give me my offensive line, I'm just saying, the point is you don't have the weapons. It's his fault because the weapon ain't there. Mm. But if the weapon was there, we wouldn't be saying this about Green Bay. If Devontae Adams was still on Green Bay, they'd have at least three more wins this year.
Tell me this. What did they do with Devontae Adams, with Aaron Rodgers the MVP?
Let me give you the history. They lost come playoff time, but they were winning 13 games in the regular season.
Is that what we measure quarterbacks by?
What I'm saying to you is this. You would sit up there when they lost in the postseason. Mm-hmm. You said he didn't get it done. What you didn't say is you got to move on beyond them because they won 13 games during the regular season. There's a difference. I'm with you when you say he ain't get it done. But when you talk about, they got to move on from him, you're going too far.
But the only point I would make to you, because what you're saying, you've watched for three decades and you study and you listen, you watch when everybody's on their show, and all the things you're saying are true. But the thing you've missed is the fact that the great ones that you've heard him say it, me say it, any former player, any current player, the great ones can overcome all of that. The great ones can do it without. That's what the great ones can do.
Did Drew Brees do it?
No. That's a different conversation.
Did Dan Fouts do it? There's plenty of great receivers that didn't do it.
That's a different conversation, right? Because now you're talking to maybe his decline. You're talking about his decline. What looks like a decline, right? Look at the stats. QBR, worst ever.
I'm not thinking about
that. Win-loss record, worst ever.
I see a guy that's bereft of weapons.
Okay.
But they ain't open.
Who fault is that?
Hold on, real quick.
His, because he let him walk out the door.
Real quick. There's been years that Tom Brady has been bereft of weapons.
Yeah.
Right.
At receiver. Okay. And in those years,
in New England,
in those years, Tom Brady still manages to not only make the playoffs, not only win playoff games, but win the Super Bowls.
That's fair.
And so so to your point of listening to people, because you're right, this is what players say. You need the quarterback. That's the most important. It's the paramount position in the NFL.
Okay.
But right now, this quarterback isn't playing up to par. Well, and this guy's a four-time MVP who we think doesn't need anybody. You don't need it. You're Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady didn't
need it. He made Jordy Nelson.
But all of a sudden, him.
What I want to make sure I'm clear about with you is I'm not disagreeing with you about the accountability he should have because of their doldrums and because of him being bereft of those weapons that he once had. And also only going to one Super Bowl even though he won it.
Yeah.
Damn it, that's not good enough. I get all of that. But where I would come back with you with this, Tom Brady, like, for example, Troy Brown wasn't a household name.
Yep.
That brother could play.
Yeah.
That brother could play. Okay. They had people who could play, but they weren't Randy Moss.
There were years that Tom Brady had a makeshift offensive
line.
Edelman was
no
joke.
There were years, absolutely.
Gronk could ball.
We used to say he's making chicken salad, and you know the rest.
Excuse me. What we used to say was that he had a phenomenal coach and leader in Bill Belichick.
Okay.
Okay. Who, by the way, covered a lot of stuff, too.
Listen,
let's call it what it is now.
This is the hard thing.
Are we going to say Matt LaFleur is Bill Belichick?
No, listen, the hard thing is when to transition from a great player. We watched your Pittsburgh Steelers struggle with the transition from a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Totally.
So you're saying if the Green Bay Packers, whether next year, whatever, if they get back another top flight receiver, or better yet, if Devontae Adams was on the team this year, it'd be significantly better.
I'm telling you, they're right there battling Minnesota for the NFC North. I'm not saying that because Minnesota's like, what is it, 9-2 now? Yeah. So yeah. I'm not saying that. But do I think they would have been like a 7-4? Yes. Yes, they would have. Absolutely.
That's fine. But when you have to transition, listen, the general manager has a responsibility for the future, not just the present. Okay. So if Aaron Rodgers is your present and future, you don't let Devontae Adams walk away. But now you may have to take this chip, push it in. Look at what Seattle's done, moving from Russell Wilson. They have built the foundation to be a steady contender for the next 10 years, not just this year or next year.
You're saying trade him?
Push that chip in.
How about your Jets?
No, we good. No, I'm not. I'm not saying
we good with Zach Wilson. Quarterback.
We good with Zach Wilson.
No. What I'm saying is
you're gonna make me faint on national television.
No, what I'm saying is you have to give up everything you have, all your good young pieces, to Green Bay, and you bring Aaron Rodgers. He still ain't gonna have nothing.
Nothing.
John Elway.
Nothing.
You're gonna have to give away Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall.
No, I understand that part, but I'm challenging your statement. Aaron Rodgers don't have nothing. He ain't got nothing left.
I didn't say that. I said if Aaron Rodgers goes there and all the weapons you have to give up to get him, you're still not going to beat Josh Allen in that division.
Yeah. Hold I don't know. But guys I'm saying I don't think your Jets can draft the quarterback again. Maybe it's time to get
something?
A bet.
May I say something? We'll find this out about Tua. We'll find it out. If Aaron Rodgers was in Miami with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle,
that's a different story. But guess what?
They might win
guess
it all.
He wouldn't be able to make $50 million. He wouldn't be able to make $50 million. You can't beat Tom Brady if you're gonna take all the cheese off the taco.
We're not disputing that. I get your point about that with the money, and I get your point about that. And you got my point about him letting Devontae Adams walk out the door. But don't worry about it. It's cool. I can take it. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this: I'm just addressing the skill set.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, the skill set
with a Tyreek Hill and a Jalen Waddle. Super Bowl.
That's why you.
Super Bowl.
That's why you.
That's why you
trade him. Miami doesn't need to make a change.
I didn't say that, Molly. I'm just talking about they're challenging the skill level of Aaron Rodgers at this point.
No, we're not
saying
that
slippage. And I'm saying he's still a bad man. It's just been bad this year because, damn it, that's what happens when you let your weapons walk out the door. That's the problem. That's a problem.
Okay. Lost one.
That's a big deal, man. Devontae Adams.
Patrick Mahomes lost one.
Hey.
He got greedy, Stephen A.
He did.
Bart
he
Scott, did. Sam he Hotjo did. Coming in he hot. Did.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.